Shall we bow our heads together now for a word of prayer? Father, we are grateful today for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of being able to pray together another day, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. We ask that Thou wilt open this portion of the Word to us in a fashion that will enable us to understand it, have encouraged hearts as we look toward the future, and know that regardless of how dark the future may look to the human eye, our God is watching over all. Meet every need of every waiting heart today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles now, will you open them, please, again to Revelation chapter 19. We have been studying the 19th chapter of the book of the Revelation, and we have been noticing in this 19th chapter the very beginning, four hallelujahs, because God's victories were to be won. And we have noticed particularly the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth, a future event. It has not occurred. It will occur, as certainly as the Word of God is the Word of God. We've noticed the manner in which the Lord Jesus Christ will return. We are noticing the purpose for which He is returning. And the last time we were together with you, we mentioned, we were not able to follow to its conclusion, the statement that He is coming back for the purpose of judgment. He is coming back for the purpose of making war. We called to your attention the 15th verse, "And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword," which we've already learned is the Word of God, "that He should smite the nation, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God." He is returning then for the purpose of war. He is returning for the purpose of smiting the nations with a rod of iron. Let the individual who thinks of Jesus as the one meek and mild remember that when He came the first time, that was His chief characteristic, because He came as the Savior of the world. But when He comes back the second time, He is coming back as mighty warrior to take vengeance upon all those who obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, He is coming back for the purpose of smiting nations with a rod of iron. Then, as we continue to look at Revelation chapter 19, we find the story becomes very specific. For in verse 20 we read, "The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, and who wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." Last time we were with you, we emphasized the importance of the Spirit of God calling to our attention that these two creatures, the Antichrist and the false prophet, were cast alive into the lake of fire. We said that they would be found alive still in the lake of fire 1,000 years later. This is important because we are living in a day when not a great deal of emphasis is placed upon a literal hell. We are living in a day when not a great deal of emphasis is placed upon eternal punishment. But friend, you cannot read the Bible with an unbiased mind without realizing that hell is real. Hell, as we think of it, is eternal. But the eternal place of punishment, more accurately presented, is the lake of fire. Now, will you notice from Revelation 14 that all the armies of the world were gathered together for the battle of Armageddon? You recall how we read in Revelation 14, wicked spirits had gone out and whispered into all the ears of all the kings of the world, "Go down to Jerusalem. Go down to Jerusalem." They heeded the advice of these wicked spirits, and they were gathered there, representatives from all the nations of the world. We wondered when we read that they were going together in the plains of Megiddo, outside the city of Jerusalem, what might happen to them. What happened to them? Well, in verse 21 of Revelation 19, you have the answer. That is the remnant, that is, other than the Antichrist and the false prophet, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. Now we have already learned that the Lord Jesus Christ spake their death and they died. That was the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Just like he said, let there be light, and light appeared, he destroyed these individuals by the very word of his mouth. That's the reason why God had sent his angels to invite all the fowls of heaven to feed upon dead flesh. All the armies of the world are gathered together in the battle of Armageddon. They are killed in one breath of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the fowls of the heaven feed upon their flesh. Now, I don't know how you feel, but one of the most repulsive things to me as I drive up and down the highways of Texas is to see vultures feeding upon dead animals upon the road. It's one of the most repulsive things I can imagine. Without being sensational, I would ask you to picture in your mind today dead bodies strewn for 200 miles up and down the length of the land of Palestine, and all the fowls of the air feeding upon the dead flesh of human beings and of horses. Now this is what the Word of God said. Is it terrible? Is it awful? Well, friend, in a way it is. And yet let us face the fact, it is no more terrible, no more awful than the judgment of God actually is. I sometimes think that we think so much about the love of God and the grace of God that we fail to put in its rightful place the judgment of God. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I would say to you that it is a fearful thing to think that human beings, and perhaps even some we love, I trust none of you listening to me, but human beings, perhaps even some we love, will die in this battle and be fed upon by the fowls of the heavens. I am glad that the Lord Jesus Christ came the first time. Oh, how thankful we ought to be. And in the midst of all the hurry and the bustle and the rush of the days that are related to observing his coming, how thankful we ought to be that he came, because so often the fact that he came is forgotten. He came the first time, and I am glad that he did. I am glad that he died on the cross. I am glad that he arose again, because upon all of that hinges the faith upon which we rest today. Without the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ would be nothing. Without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ would be meaningless. So I am grateful for the birth of the Savior. I am grateful for the death of Christ. I am grateful for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. I am glad that he presented his blood to God for the sins of the world, and that I am under that blood. I am glad that I have no fear of hell today. I am glad that I have no fear of judgment, because I have placed my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that you have as well. But let me add this other thought today, and that is, I have no fear of the coming of the Lord. As a matter of fact, I am looking forward to his coming with great expectancy. because the Word of God teaches us that the coming of Christ is the hope of the church, and it is the thing toward which we all ought to be looking with great expectancy and great longing. I find in my heart the continual prayer of the Apostle John, as it is recorded in the Revelation, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." I wonder if you are anxious for him to come. Let me say this to you. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you understand everything that is involved in the coming of the Lord, then you will want him to come. You will be looking forward to his coming. Now, quite often individuals don't understand what's involved in his coming. Quite often individuals know practically nothing about his coming, so you could hardly be expecting them to look forward with great expectancy to the return of the Lord. But I say to you, friend, I have studied carefully the Word of God, and I know that Jesus is coming, and I'm looking forward to his coming right away.